And welcome back to Coast. Open lines now for the next couple hours. You know, earlier this week when I had a chance to interview Robert Piccioni about Albert Einstein, right after the program, I got this email. We were talking about the genius of Albert Einstein. I love this. It said, the story around Princeton, George, was that Einstein paid for everything by check, most of which they never got cashed because everyone wanted his autograph. They just saved his checks. See, he was a genius. It's a pretty novel idea, isn't it? So we've got open lines for you. Next hour, I promised you this, right? I'll tell you all about that next hour. But we'll be back with your calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. Let's go to the phones. Open lines. I'm looking forward to this. We'll go to Jane in Sioux, Michigan, east of the Rockies. Hey, Jane, where is Sioux, Michigan?
It's like I can see Canada. It's in the Upper Peninsula.
Oh, it's way up there. Okay.
Yes, it's in nowhere land.
I mean, I know Michigan. I spent almost my entire life there. But Sioux, Michigan, I don't know where it is.
The
Sioux Locks
is up here.
Okay.
It's a pretty little town, but kind of, you know, a little bit slow.
What's the population up there? Two? Three?
Probably. I think it's around 5,000.
Do you have a radio station there, or you're being beamed? You're picking us up from a bigger station close by?
No, we have a radio station with you on it, and I've been listening to you for 12 years.
God, we got so many affiliates now. I have to sue Michigan. Okay,
yeah.
We'll go up there. Great.
It's 1400 WKNW. I don't know exactly, but I'm just so honored to talk to you. I've tried so hard to call you. Back when you first started, I think it was 2004.
Well, actually, I started full-time 2003, started doing work for them in 2001, filling in. So I'm coming up in April of next year, 9 years.
Oh, goodness. Well, congratulations. I'm so glad you're on. But, you know, without Coast to Coast, I don't know what I'd do. But I remember back.
You're on 1400, right?
Yeah.
WKNW.
Yes, that's it. Back in the early 2000s, you were talking about mirrors, and I couldn't get through. You were talking about, has anybody had any strange experiences with mirrors? You remember that?
Yeah, I do. Plus, let me ask you this, because I can't get this out of my mind. You're in Michigan. So I'm reading my board in the city is you're in Sault Ste. Marie, right?
Exactly.
Oh, that's what threw me. See,
yeah.
I've got this
Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario.
Yeah, exactly. I've got this board that I read my calls from, and it was typed up that you're in SUE, Michigan, and I'm saying to myself, where in the heck is that? Oh, of course, Sault Ste. Marie. I know all about, but.
Yeah,
you
know what? I couldn't.
We'll talk to that person who types.
An operator told me the telephone area code didn't even exist. The closest one she could come to 906 was in Alaska, 907. But I said, there really is an area code 906.
Sioux, Michigan. See what they throw at me all the time, Jane, and I have to learn this stuff. Oh, my God.
I am so pleased to talk to you. So I got to tell you this thing that happened to me. I used to live down in a southern state, and I went to this metaphysical church for the most part of 4 years. And I got invited to a closed-door meeting one night, and some pretty strange things happened. And at the end, they said, would you like to see your aura, or would you like to see the mirror? And everybody said, let's do the mirror. So I got, you sit in front of this mirror, and then they stand in the background. The other people stand in the background, not very many people, maybe a dozen, and they tell you what they see. Right. And
yeah,
I was sitting next to this person I knew, and nothing was showing up on him. But on me, I saw four different pictures, and it was supposed to be of my past lives.
And could you see it clearly?
I could see kind of like, to me, it kind of looked fuzzy, but I didn't have my glasses on anyway. But the people in the background were also telling me what they saw, and I could see what they were seeing. But it wasn't as clear to me. You could see it better standing back, apparently. So I saw myself like about Once I was about 700 pounds.
That's not you.
No, I didn't like that one. Another time, I looked like a really grouchy old lady, like from the maybe 1700s, 1800s.
Well, who knows? You could be reincarnated from that.
Like, yeah, four
so
times.
So that's possible.
At least four. And then my hair was like tied up in a bun. Another time, I wore a funny looking hat, and I was a child once. And the,
well, I hope so.
Well, no. I mean, this child story, I had to go to this church like four times to find out everything about this child, little girl.
The one you saw in the mirror.
I saw her in the mirror, but I was told about her before I got in front of the mirror. See, I can't talk to anybody here in Michigan, in the Sioux, about this because they just call you crazy, you know.
Well, so. I'm not sure about that. I mean, that's a pretty good-sized radio station up there. A lot of people listen to us in Sault Ste. Marie.
And anyway, this one, I'll call him a reverend, but he was psychic. It's a psychic church. He said, I see you as a little girl, and you were taken by Indians, and apparently. And then, okay, I'm going to have to combine this, because there's four little psychic little old ladies. They're really sweet looking, like the Granny Knitting Club. So there's them four ladies that they told me also parts of this story with the reverend. The reverend said, I see you as a little girl taken by Indians. And then the little old ladies, when they talked to me, they had told me that they seen me in a field with a white girl's shirt and an Indian skirt on. And then I was brutally raped and beaten, apparently. And then I got taken from them, found in this field, and put in some kind of a church place. Where,
wow, these little old ladies, were they there watching you in the mirror?
No, they weren't in the mirror. This was a different night where I had to go a few times to get the complete story. But these little old ladies also completed this story. See, I went to this for 4 years, so I got a lot of stories I could tell.
Well, you don't have that kind of time, though.
No, this little lady said she saw me after that. I had been taken and put in this church place where they also brutally beat.
Well, you were probably just reincarnated. Simple as that. That's what happened to you. Be careful with mirrors. Arlene in Montreal, Canada. Hello, Arlene.
Hello. Yes, I'm very nervous. It's the first time I'm calling.
Everybody's nervous tonight. Yeah. Calm down.
There's so many things happen to me, and it's continuously. I wake up, I see different people in my room. I've thought it was my imagination. I've used a digital recording and a digital camera. I've got pictures. I've got talking on the recording, and one picture looks like extraterrestrial. And other things on the picture, and I've been sleeping, and when I've been sleeping, I've like got shocked. There was like electricity starting from my feet up to my head, and I couldn't move. There's so many things, and I went to see this lady, and she was psychic, and she told me that I had. She said that I have powers, which I've started to do healing, and which I'm not sure myself, but it's been. You know, it's been working out, and but I'm really don't know what's going on. You know, I thought it was ghosts, but it's just a mixture of different kinds of identities. I don't know what it is.
Look, these entities will come at you, Arlene,
yes.
Any way they can.
Oh, they do, yeah.
You get hurt?
When I got the shock, I was started from my feet.
But I mean, did it hurt you?
Yes, I was. I couldn't move. It was getting a shock, you know, and I couldn't move. And I wanted to call my son. I wanted to. It was like my hands and was like a dog, close to my body, and I couldn't move at all.
Well, you got to be careful of them. Sometimes it's sleep paralysis, but other times you don't know. James, Prescott, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Take it away, sir. James. Hi.
You take predictions tonight?
I take anything. It's open lines.
Okay. Well, I love remote viewing, but I have this pain problem, so I like to, you know, do this OBE thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of predicted the collapse of the coin collecting industry in America.
Really? What would cause that?
Maybe some counterfeiting, like after a major disaster or some dice that might have got taken.
So you're predicting that the coin industry, the collectors, it's going to plummet. The value is going to plummet.
Yes, sir. There's going to be something found out about counterfeiting.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, my father used to collect coins. He had all those things. Indian head pennies. He had them all. And I guess he did the thing you're not supposed to do. When he had these things, and he started when he was a little boy, he would get steel wool, and he wanted to buff them up and shine them. So he'd rub the coins. And in doing so, I guess he kind of like rubbed the dates down a little bit and stuff. And so what could have been very, very valuable turned out to be not so valuable. And I had some folks who are experts at coins, and they looked at these and they said, who scratched all these? And I told them the story, and they went, no, you're never supposed to do that. You're supposed to keep them in its original shape, even if they're dirty, and put them in a little tiny cellophane holder, and off you go. Next up, let's go to Chris in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, on the wildcard line. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Oh, hi, George. Oh, had a quick question and a comment. The question being, there was a news item in the paper several weeks ago that Ebola had been found in pigs in the Philippines, and it was in the back of the paper. And I was wondering if you had heard anything about that.
I did not investigate it, but I did hear about that. And we had a guest on last week who talked about Ebola, but did not cite that specifically.
Huh, so you haven't heard about that?
No, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, and I was going to comment about Steve Quayle. He talks about some really serious topics, but the dude really discredits himself when he starts talking about giants and fallen angels and Nephilim and Stargates and all this.
Well, but he's a believer in all that. I mean, Steve is a staunch believer in the Bible, and you can't argue with him about that if that's his belief, because many people believe it, and that's where he gets it. I mean, he's not making that up. He believes in what the Bible says. So I don't think it kills his credibility. One has to say, if you don't believe in the Bible, you can question him, but he's a believer.
Well, you know, I wouldn't consider myself to be a Bible believer, but I've read it, and I was raised Christian, and I've read those passages, and what he's going by are two or three verses.
But they're there.
They're there, but they can be read in different ways.
Ah, that's true. That's true.
Nephilim does not necessarily mean giant. It actually, in Hebrew, I think it means mighty men. So, you know, they could be heroes or whatever, you know, like the Greek mythology, you had heroes like Hercules and all these guys. You know, just mighty men, and they weren't necessarily giant.
Goliath was a giant.
Right.
He might not have been a Nephilim, but he was a giant.
And Goliath was after the flood, too, after the giants were supposedly done in.
Yeah, this one, he got through somehow.
there were a couple others. But, I wouldn't consider myself to be a Bible believer at all. But
Do you believe in angels?
No, I don't. I mean, you can't really prove them or disprove them
anyway. Do you think whatever the Bible was writing, let's take Genesis, maybe they were talking about extraterrestrials, but that's how they had to interpret it?
It's possible. I won't rule it out. The problem with the Bible is that it has been altered so many times by the hand of man. I mean, you had the original text, and then they translated it into Greek and into Latin and English and, you know, All through the centuries, you had different people interpolating and interjecting and altering centuries.
That's true. But you know what? Just don't chastise Steve because of his belief system, because, you know, he could be right. He could be wrong. You could be right. You could be wrong. But, you know, the important thing in this country is you have a right to believe in what you believe and you do your thing. And that's one of the problems that has been going on so long in this country. People can't talk the way they believe without getting chastised and getting attacked and getting labeled and, you know, being accused of everything. I remember when George Bush was elected president and people who would criticize things that were going on in the administration were called Bush bashers. My gosh, you're just Americans commenting on the fact that you don't agree on the position of this administration. Well, now the same thing's happening on President Obama's administration. You're bashing him. You're doing this and that. People have a right to their own opinions as long as they do it in a very civil manner, I think. Let's go to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Mike, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Mike.
Hey, George. How you doing tonight?
All righty. Just getting going.
First time caller here. Just had a quick little kind of story and comment.
Okay.
For if you don't mind. Yes. I don't know if you had remember if you had a guest on previously. His name was
I did have Robert on one of my shows a long time ago. He's dead now.
Right, Robert Monroe. It's actually Robert Bruce.
Oh yeah.
He's actually on
Astral Projector.
Yes.
Good one.
Actually, it was just kind of like, here's the story to it. My girlfriend, probably, you know, 3 years now, had an odd dream of kind of like of your previous, the hour we were talking about, the dreams and car accidents.
Uh-huh.
She had a bizarre dream. She kept dreaming of papers in her dream and, you know, of car accidents. And about 2 weeks later, after I read, actually, Robert Bruce's book, it's called Mastering Astral Projection. An actual car accident happened. Actually, both cars were totaled. My car and another car from Georgia was totaled. So I was just wondering if you have from your past experience, if any of that is related or connected in any way.
And I assume papers scattered everywhere.
Yeah, that's what she was telling me. She said she kept dreaming of papers, and you know, and of a physical car accident occurring. So.
And I assume you got out of this without a scratch.
Both. I wasn't hurt. The lady in the other vehicle, she was from Georgia, actually had a sprained ankle. And actually, it was just weird because when the physical accident happened, it felt like time, you know, physically stopped for a brief period of time.
And your question is on your girlfriend's ability or what happened?
The actual dream, if that was,
I don't think that was astral projection by any means. What that was a precognitive dream.
Right.
She had this incredible ability to foresee this, and the secret of this kind of gift is to be able to write it down, record it, keep it down there, and keep tracking yourself to see if it happens again, because that's pretty uncanny that you'd be able to see that. Open lines continue right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. I'll be right back. Shout out time, and also I want to do a little test on our friends at the NighthawkZone.com to test their server. I'll need your help. First of all, thank you for listening to Coast AM and supporting us all around the place, including one of my favorite cities, Sault Ste. Marie, as I've just taught a few people that. And then Streamlink members, hello to you, XM Satellite, and the various chat rooms and groups, NighthawkZone.com folks, Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, MySpace groups, Yahoo Chat, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, and our Twitter feed that you can find at coasttocoastam.com. Okay, quick experiment, by the way. Let's do this. The folks at the NighthawkZone.com have a huge server, which they use when they do their chat and everything else on their forum. It's a great, great group of people over there. I think we crash almost every server of every guest that comes on this show for some time. Melinda Leslie last night was on last night. We shut her down. And then as, you know, the show went on, it opened back up again. Go to NighthawkZone.com. That's all you have to do. Just go to NighthawkZone.com. And I want to see what their capacity is. I tried this experiment about a year ago, and there's a reason for this because I'm working on a project, and I just need to know what the capacity of this audience is hitting one server at one time. NighthawkZone.com. Have fun. I'll be back in a moment with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Oh my, I think producer Tom has just told me NighthawkZone.com's server maybe getting overloaded. He said, George, I have seen a very marked immediate slowdown to get in. And I don't know how many people are trying to hit it, but I may have proved a point to myself in terms of capacity. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll monitor it. And over at the Nighthawk Zone, sorry, folks, if we slowed up your chat night, but I had to test it on you. We'll see. Tommy's got his arms up in the air. Tommy, squawk me for a moment. What's going on?
I tried it about five times. It got progressively slower, and now I can't get it.
Okay, good. Thanks. Let's go back to the phones. Los Angeles, we go. Hello, Robert. Take it away.
Hi, George.
How are you?
Thank you for asking. How are you?
Good.
Good. Basically, what I would suggest is that it is in the best interests of the United States of America and the world to re-legalize marijuana, the beneficial, versatile, historically legal marijuana hemp plant. The specific re-legalization reasons that I would state and would be prepared to discuss are freedom of thought, First Amendment, consciousness self-determination, and individual autonomy, the pursuit of happiness, inconsistent with America's economic system.
And how about income?
It would increase prosperity, George. Estimates of hundreds of billions of dollars a year in re-legalized activities, products and services.
And, you know, in the old days, hemp was used for paper and everything else, but I guess it was stopped because of special interests.
Paper, hemp, it's been suggested, for example, that William Randolph Hearst had interest in wood, and hemp can produce 4.1 times more paper per acre than wood, and it was substantial competition, and also it's been suggested that, so he went on a propaganda campaign, and using the word, quote, marijuana, unquote, rather than hemp, the word used by George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, and also it's been suggested that there was a DuPont patent on nylon or rayon.
That's
something.
True. That's
and hemp
true.
Would be substantial competition
yep.
for, and then during World War II, there was hemp for victory, a United States government-produced pithy film documentary indicating that marijuana hemp at least should be re-legalized for things like parachutes and uniforms.
And let me ask you this, Robert. With everything that's going on in the world, this is important to you. Tell me why.
In 2007, there were more than 870,000 marijuana arrests. The continuation of the marijuana hemp prohibition era increases the possibility of a totalitarian takeover of the United States of America. All of the police state parasites have a vested interest in perpetuating the unconstitutional prohibition.
Bingo. That's it. You got it. Robert, I got to take a few more calls. We will do some shows on this. Back in St. Louis, by the way, a long time ago, there was a hemp mobile. This car was run on hemp oil. Now, at that time, it would cost too much to make it, but it was clean, and no, you didn't get high by being by the exhaust, but it was an incredible little device. By the way, let up now on the NighthawkZone.com. You crushed it. Absolutely crushed it. Did not happen when I did that experiment a year or so ago, but it did this time. You cannot get in. So all of you who are on it, you're not a member of the Nighthawk Zone, back off now. I proved a point. Let them breathe a little bit. Next up, Robert, thanks for the call, by the way. Let's go to Idaho, west of the Rockies. Kathleen, it's your turn.
Thank you, George.
Sure thing.
I wanted to ask for a clarification of a statement made a few nights ago about 60% of homes being flooded. Could that pertain at all to what the Frank's Box prediction is?
It might. We don't know. You know, Frank's Box, this prediction of August 15th, which is Saturday, they don't know the year, but they did say a lot of water would be involved with it.
Was there a time frame on the 60% of homes?
No. Well, that was something else now you're thinking. When they told you that 60% of the homes will be underwater,
yes.
That was a mortgage thing. You know what that means?
Yes.
That was about that. That was the mortgage being underwater. But that's.
I
think Frank is talking more of a physical water problem.
I do too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But that's interesting.
I missed the context.
Yeah. No, that's all right. You bring up a very interesting paradox. Maybe that's what they meant. All these places are going to be underwater. It's a good thought. Newcastle, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning, George. How are you?
Okay, good.
Hey, George, I know you've mentioned this a couple of times before, and this is like lately, too. over the years I've been, but less, it seems like the last 3 months, the overwhelming feeling of the, like, days going by so quickly, and it seems more so lately, and then it makes you wonder, like, what's really the point of it all, you know?
Well, you got to enjoy it every day.
Sure.
Every day.
But then I wonder, if somebody has a great, great life, and then somebody has a mediocre life, when it still gets to the end of that time, that, like, what was the point of it all? Like, do we all go somewhere after that? I mean, I do, you know, believe in heaven and stuff, but, like, it's just hard to imagine that point right now, because it just seems like the years have gone by so fast. I don't have enough memories to fill the years.
It's going way too fast.
Yeah.
I mean, here we are in the middle of August already.
Right.
What happened to the first of the year?
Tell me. That's what I'm just saying. I was talking to a coworker of mine. It's just like, it's really scary. It's really weird. And it's not, I mean, I think you think of that throughout your life, and maybe some people in their 20s don't think that way, but as you start going, that's just a normal thing to think about. But I'm telling you, like, lately, it's just there all the time now. It's just a weird, and I just wondered if the other listeners out there have that same feeling.
Remember Sinatra's song? It was a very good year.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
Well, you go back and you listen to those words when it starts off, you know, when I was 21.
I know.
And then all of a sudden, you're old. And, you know, I was talking to my dad. We almost lost my father a few months ago.
And yeah, I know.
He rebounded. He's 86 years old.
Good for him.
And he was telling me when I flew out there, you know, this is really weird. I mean, he still remembers things when he was a little kid. And all of a sudden, he's in this old man's body. And
yeah.
and that's what's so weird. Your mind, whatever it is, stays that way forever. I mean,
yeah.
I remember events when I was little. I remember events, you know, when I was 15, when I was 20, when I was 3. It was the same me. I remember them.
Right.
But I, you know what? I'm not as agile as I used to be.
Yeah.
You know, I don't run a mile as fast as I used to be.
You still run a mile.
Yet I still remember being able to do that.
Right.
It's really weird.
Me too, but I just, like you said, it was then and now is now, and there's memories, and there's a lot of memories, but just, it doesn't seem like enough.
Well, you want to hear something that is somewhat morbid, but it's absolutely true, Lynn, and that is within 80 to 100 years, every person who's listening to this program tonight will be dead.
Right.
I will. You will. Danny, my engineer. Tommy, the producer. We're within 80 to 100 years, we're gone.
That's what I'm saying. What is the point of, I mean, people should be good to other people, and I don't mean it in that way, but it's just, what is the point? When you get to the end, if you've had a good life, good for you. If you had a mediocre life.
You have to enjoy it. I've got a friend of mine in St. Louis. Now, everybody listening to me on KTRS 550 will know this name, Don Marsh.
Mm-hmm.
Don was a television newscaster. He's done some radio. He's partnered up with a friend of mine who's been on this program before when we have police-related issues called Line of Duty. They train police departments.
Yeah.
He's playing golf a few days ago, and he feels a little tingle in his chest, right?
So
he goes to the doctor.
I'm a nurse, too.
Listen to this. He goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, I think we're going to have to give you a stent. And a stent, for those who don't know, is a little tube that they put in one of your heart arteries. All right?
Yeah.
So they go and give him a stress test, and they said, Don, we're not giving you a stent. And he went, hey, great. He said, you need triple bypass surgery right now. They wheeled him in, and, you know, he sent me an email today, so I guess he's getting a little better. But the point of all this is you never know when it's all over. I mean, look at Michael Jackson or Danny Gans. These people didn't know they were going to go to sleep and never wake up.
Right.
Never wake up. That's it. You have to enjoy every day as if it's your last.
But
and don't waste it.
I won't.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, George.
You're welcome. Let's go to Anthony in British Columbia in Canada. Hey, Anthony. Hi.
Hey, you have a lot of experience, obviously, with all the people that you've seen and talked to. I have this really neat thing that happens to me when I'm meditating.
Okay, what?
I choose to meditate with my eyes open because when I used to do it with my eyes closed, I had light bulbs get unscrewed and buddies would see shadows moving up on walls, all sorts of stuff. So I've been meditating with my eyes open. And I find that my body disappears. Like, everything else is still around me, and but my body will disappear. So that lady was talking about the mirror there earlier. I stood up in front of a mirror, and when I do it in front of the mirror, I actually have no body, and I'm seeing right through where I was standing.
Now, you maybe you have this ability to do that. I have heard that some shamans do this as well with their eyes open. I can't do that. Does it take a while before this happens to you?
Definitely, definitely, because to get to that state, I find I have to basically shut down my mind and just be, which means that I don't see like a table as a table and put the limits on everything, you know?
Do you feel tingly?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as things disappear out of... I had to switch phones there.
There you go.
After things disappear there, you get a heightened sense of where you used to have a body part.
Yes.
Even though it's not there.
And it's gone.
Exactly, exactly. And I've taken it to another level where everything basically goes flat in reality and also loses color and everything. And then I go into this presence of white, but I'm still aware and still visualizing.
As you get into this state, do you also hear some kind of ringing sound?
Oh, no, not in that state, but the last 4 weeks straight, I've been hearing ringing in both my ears. That's been pretty constant.
Yeah, that happens to me, too, when I meditate, Anthony. But I've never really tried it with my eyes open. Let's go out to New York, New York on the wild card line. John, it's up to you. Hi.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good, John.
George, listen, I'll make it real quick. I work as a professional writer. I'm a journalist with a well-known newspaper.
Okay.
I won't say which one. On the side, for many years, I thought about writing a book about UFOs, the complete, you know, on the encyclopedia, the whole bit, the whole nine yards.
Sure.
In different aspects, the crashes, the abductions, the whole bit. I have to tell you, in all honesty, that one area that really, I won't say befuddles me, but rather one which I really just can't get my head around, is the woman you had on the other night about the abductions. I don't believe in them. I just do not believe that 100,000, a million people are being abducted. There's something out there. We're interacting with something out there, but there's something definitely wrong with this picture.
And a lot of people, though, in that field have said it's in the millions. So she's not alone. You're talking about Melinda.
My hat's off to you, George. I don't mean it in a bad way. You're selling front row tickets. You have guests on that push the idea. I have a lot of respect for Whitley Strieber. I've read all the material. I like to think of myself as being extremely well-versed mm-hmm. in the field on the side. It's a little hobby I have. I've read all the materials. But, you know, the crop circles are a lot of fun. The cattle mutilations are really intriguing. But the abductions, I hate to see it. I don't know anybody personally it's ever happened to. I mean, that's a lot of people. You're saying a million people. But I don't buy it for a minute. I don't know what's going on out there. I've read the Travis Walton. I've seen the movies. I've talked to people. Like I said, I have an open mind. I'm a skeptic, but I just have a lot of problems getting my head around.
Look at this, though, John. I don't know of any families who have had their loved ones murdered. Doesn't mean it's not happening. I would have loved for Dr. John Mack, who was the Harvard professor who started to devote his entire career into this field, to have talked with you.
But where's the money? Show me the money, George. Where's the proof? I mean, all these things that are happening, I mean, I want to believe. I'll be Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters. I'll be the first to go to the spaceship and welcome the new visitors from another world. But I need to have some kind of proof. You can't just say a million people are being abducted. They claim they're being abducted, and there's nothing to show for it. There's got to be some kind of tangible proof.
Well, let me give you some names, because maybe it's time that we do some homework. I'd love to see this book from you, because I think you'd bring an interesting perspective to it. But Google on our website, John, if you would. Bud Hopkins, David Jacobs, you have Melinda Leslie, and, you know, read up on some of their work. And, you know, if you need some help talking to them, I'll set it up with you. We'll get you some phone numbers, maybe for whatever newspaper you're with. There aren't many left in New York that are big. We can do that. So we're going to put you on hold. Tom will talk to you, and maybe we can get that byplay going. I'd love for you to interview some of these players who claim that there is proof. True Proof. And years ago, I'm going to tell you a real quick story. I had an opportunity to interview Dr. Benjamin Simon from Boston, psychiatrist. He was the psychiatrist who handled the Betty and Barney Hill case of the 60s. And he is totally convinced that their story of being abducted, and it is one of the most incredible stories, that they believe it's true, that they believe it happened to them. He said they did not make this up. Whatever happened to them, they believe it to be true. He doesn't know if people did it to him or what, but that was dramatic too. But definitely, Tom, share numbers with John, if you would, and let's get him in touch with some of those other players. Let's go west of the Rockies, Fort Bragg, California. Jeff, you're up with us. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
All right, George. Did you ever get a chance to interview Les Paul?
No, I never did, but I'm told he used to religiously listen to Coast to Coast.
Well, that makes sense. You know, he was basically the Tesla of electronic music. And way back, clear in the 30s, he was putting electronic pickups on guitars and just was so far ahead of his time and lived to be 94. Before Woodstock, before all the stuff that we know with electronic music, he was there. And he's had a pretty long life to get to see all that. And, you know, he was in a horrible accident and actually had his arm fused in a position where he could play the guitar for the rest of his days. He had horrible arthritis, and he still fought through. He was quite an inspiration on top of being a genius.
When I left St. Louis, my producer, Howard, who is an avid guitar player, just, you know, I asked him, I says, I want to give you a little present as I go away. As I go into the Coast to Coast land, what can I do for you? And he said, God, can you buy me a small guitar? So I bought him a Les Paul.
Oh, cool.
And he still plays. And Howard does not have the use of one of his hands and plays the guitar as well as anybody.
Well, Les Paul and Mary Ford, his wife, were quite an inspiration.
Yeah.
And they put the playback in front of the record so we could get reverb. And they did a whole lot of stuff that goes beyond the guitar.
They did.
Was before synthesizing. Yeah,
absolutely. They did it all, Jeff. I'll be back with more open lines. And also, I'm going to play this, as I promised you, next.